You're so good and kind. Thank you. In Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. All right, if you got your Bibles, go to Galatians. We're going to start our Galatians book today. So excited about that opportunity. What do you think back there, Karen? You getting things figured out? Did you get it? No, we're not quite there. Try to go from the beginning, if you can. And I know you've got several things going on. Hit record if you don't mind doing that. So, thank you. There is reminders in everyday life. Do you need reminders? Come on, let's be honest. Do you need reminders? Okay. That's why every day, that's why you got the post-it note in your bulletin today. I notice that the older I get, the more reminders I need. I'm not sure what that is, but our Tuesday morning guys always encourage me. They say, Jeff, it'll just get worse. So I'm grateful for guys like that. But anyway, reminders. I found this week through Reader's Digest some reminders. And here's a few reminders that I find interesting. Some people call them warning labels, but I think they're warning labels, but I think they're reminders. Here's a reminder found on a baby stroller. Remove child before folding. Here's a reminder on a thermometer. I'm a medical person, so this makes sense to me. Once used rectally, the thermometer should not be used orally. Yeah. What's that? What is it? Between what? Someone give that guy a mic. Cordless drill. This product not intended for use as a dental drill. Jet ski. Rick will appreciate this one. Never use a lit match or open flame to check fuel level. Now, I thought this was interesting. For those of you who live in Pickering, Dr. Meyer, found on the bottle of dog medication. May cause drowsiness. Use care when operating a car. Dishwasher. Found on a dishwasher. Reminder, do not allow a child to play in the dishwasher. I found this was really good. Rat poison. This is a reminder label on rat poison. Has been found to cause cancer in lab mice. Finally, some of you ladies, you remember those things we used to have years ago called irons? And we have iron-on patterns, you know? Iron-on patterns. Just ironed my shirt this morning. So anyway, iron-on patterns. Found on an iron-on pattern, this warning label. Do not iron while wearing shirt. And then finally, since Vern was so quick to chime up about his phone earlier, he told me this week that he bought something, a product for himself. Vern brought a hairdryer. And it says on the warning label of the hairdryer, reminder label of the hairdryer, do not use while sleeping. Do you ever need reminders? You do. We need reminders. As a matter of fact, as we go through the Bible today, thanks, Karen, for finding that. As we go through the Bible today, you're going to find that there's several reminders we need in the first chapter of Revelation, the first five verses, and Paul reminds us of these five things, and you must know these five things. And so the posted the note in your bulletin, I'll tell you what it is later. But before we get to that, I believe there's a theme. There's a theme to Galatians, and it's found in Galatians 2:20. So we're going to learn this verse together. So let's read this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So this is a central theme, I believe, of Galatians. And you're going to understand more of that as we travel through Galatians together. This is going to take us on into the new year. But the sermon is about, guess what? Reminders. It's reminders, and we need reminders, especially as Christians. And the Church of Galatia is no different. They're churches of Galatia. That's what we're going to find. They're churches of Galatia, and churches of Galatia are having issues. Look, if you go to church, your church has issues. Okay, you know why? Because who goes there? People. And guess what people have? People have problems. People have issues. If you go to church, you got problems, okay? And so here's what's happening in this church. Literally, some words that Paul used on in the book of Galatians, and I encourage you to read through the book of Galatians more than once as we're traveling through it together. People were biting and devouring each other with their words. They're mean, cruel, gossiping and biting one another in their words. People were gossiping and murmuring about Paul and about Jesus, because guess who formed the church of Galatia? It was Paul. All right. People were wanting to force others into a religion to follow as opposed into a relationship with Jesus that was based on grace. And so you have people in the church who had ideas of how you should be a Christian. And Paul says, no, wait a minute. This is about grace, not rules and religion. And so when Paul wrote these letters, here's what happened. He wrote to several churches in Galatia. And as he wrote to all these churches, because he founded them all, leastwise most of them, he would write a letter, and then what would happen is that congregation would read the letter, and then when they read the letter in church on a particular day of the week, probably Sunday, they'd take that letter and pass it on down the road to the next church. And guess what that church would do? They'd read the letter. So everybody passed around the letters of Paul for those areas of which that it was written to. So here's the deal. Let's just start right off with each other. Reminder number one is this. Paul is an apostle from Jesus Christ, not people. If you look in the Bible again, I'm reading from the NIV in our Sunday school time downstairs. I'm going to be teaching out of the New American Standard, but the NIV, because I know most of you carry the NIV, that's why I preach out of it. But Paul, an apostle, sent from men, nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me to the churches in Galatia. Now, I know you may find this hard to believe, but I want to share with you something. Did you realize that some people are fake? Did you realize that? Some people are absolutely fake. They give you one perception of who they are up front, but behind closed doors or somewhere else, they're not what? They're not real. They're not genuine, okay? And so the church is no different. So some people, when they come to you, they give all the appearance they want to be truthful to you, but really they have a motive for you. They have their own personal motive for you. They want a sense of power and even exercise that power over you. Now, Paul, in all but three of his 13 New Testament letters, says he's an apostle of who? Jesus Christ, okay? We're going to talk in Sunday school time the difference between an apostle and a disciple, so I want to encourage you to be a part of that class after church today. But there's four reasons I believe Paul, just seems obvious to me why he brings this up, why he describes himself as an apostle, Paul an apostle. Number one is, Paul's an apostle. That's why he brings it up. He's an apostle. Number two, Paul had the power and commission of what person? Jesus Christ, not people. He had the power and commission of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about where Paul got that as well in our Sunday school time. Paul used this as an official greeting. He says, I'm Paul the apostle. He's telling people who he is. Number four, he recognized the disunity of doctrine in the church. There was disunity in the church, and there was doctrine issues in the church. And so Paul said, hey, look, I'm the Apostle Paul writing you to let you know I have authority over your church because I'm an apostle. And so he's making that known, okay? So he's reminding them of the hierarchy, if you will. There are hierarchy in churches, and the New Testament tells us about that. Who's head of the church? Jesus Christ. He's head of every single church, period. And then God laid out people after that. During the time of the apostles, it was Jesus Christ, then the apostles. Paul is saying he is in authority over your church, Galatians. That's what he's trying to tell them. So there's a movement in the early churches to take the authority away from the apostles. And Paul's reminded, hey, I'm an apostle. And there's also a movement in the early churches to discredit Jesus Christ. So Paul reminds these people, look, wait, I'm an apostle. Through Jesus Christ, and we know this is true, Paul says, because God raised Jesus from the dead, and Jesus has power over death, and as proof, he was resurrected to a new body, and he took away our sin. So it's a reminder for us, it's a good reminder for us, that we need the same reminder, okay? We need the same reminder that Paul is an apostle of Jesus. You had better listen to his teachings, okay? Number two is, Jesus Christ commissioned Paul to speak for him. You had better listen to his teaching. Years ago, I was in a Christian bookstore in Columbia Mall, and a man walked in there, and he told a friend of mine, he says, I only want a Bible that's written in red. I just want the red letters. And my friend said, no, wait a minute. All the Bible's inspired. Nope, I just want the red letters. Now, what's the problem with that? Well, an apostle is commissioned by Jesus to speak for him. So when you say you only want the red letters, you only want what Jesus said, but you don't want what Jesus said to Paul to say to us. It's false thinking. It's false teaching. All right, Jesus Christ rising from the grave is proof Jesus is who the Bible says he is, and you must not listen to people who discredit Jesus. There are people every day, including yourself, discredit Jesus because there are some things you don't believe that could happen or should happen because of Jesus Christ, and that's discredit to Jesus. You got to be so on guard against that, okay? That's a good reminder. Reminder number two is this. We are not the only Christians. We are Christians only. We are not the only Christians. We are Christians only. Look again in Galatians 1, verse 2. He says, and all the brothers with me, and some of yours says brethren or brothers and sisters, to the churches in Galatia. And Paul is trying to inspire us something here. Any idea where the churches in Galatia were? Okay. Well, it's in modern-day Turkey. Okay, there's modern-day Turkey with some of the biblical names in there of towns that were in Paul's time. So Galatia was in modern-day Turkey. And Paul went through and he started several churches in his first missionary journey. We're going to talk more about that in our Sunday school time. And we're going to see how many churches he actually did start, or at least what cities. But what Paul would do, he stopped in at least five cities that were aware of written in the New Testament. And when he stopped in those five cities, guess what he did? He preached and started what? He started churches. Now, it's not like churches you and I have, like we think of a building. It's churches like, so for example, say Doug and Marcia. They said Paul would go to their house and spoke with them, and they said, hey, can we start a church in your house? Well, sure, that'd be great. And so they'd start a church in their house, and once that got so big, they'd probably divide off and start another church in another house. So it was house churches that Paul was starting in these towns, okay? Now, look, every one of those churches was built on who? Jesus. That's exactly right. Every one of those churches was built on Jesus. My wife and I had a chance to go to one of our kids in Marshall. We raised her at Show Me, and she's our daughter. And so we went to Marshall and went to her church, and it was a unique church, not anything like ours at all. But those people still proclaim to know who. So that makes them what? Brothers and sisters. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, they're unique brothers and sisters in Christ. But just the same, they're brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? So as I say that, here's what helps us to understand. Okay? Paul's telling and reminding the churches in Galatia, look, you need to understand this. People who don't go to the same church as you, but yet you're still founded in Jesus, they're all still part of one family. Okay? And so we need that same reminder. People not in my church but still believe in and follow Jesus are my family. And I got a good reminder of the day of a woman who used to attend here some, still comes here some occasionally. She says, I didn't have a problem with Sheridan Church. We just want to go to another church because that was what we're used to. And so sometimes as Christian brothers and sisters, we need to be aware of that sometimes the tradition of our church isn't necessarily a tradition someone's used to. I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm talking about tradition. Okay? Tradition. Not doctrine, tradition. Reminder number three. Grace and peace can only come from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3 of Galatians 1. It says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord, what's his name again? Jesus Christ, okay? So I wonder, how many of us want peace? We've got a few in there, okay, great. Look, it's a false and foolish thing for you to create your own peace in this world. It's false and foolish. Why? Right. You can't create peace. You can't do it for yourself. Most of us are trying hard every single day to control relationship here, work here, finances here, and you're trying to do all those things, control all those things because you want what? Does that look like I'm in peace doing all these things? There's no peace in doing that, okay? I had a person come and speak to me the other day, and sometimes as a preacher, you get people call up and say, hey, I got some issues going on. I just need somebody to talk to. So they came by and talked to him with their spouse. And this person shared with me over and over all the things they do to try to get peace. Now, I'm not trying to offend you with this what I'm about to say to you, but some of you obviously propagate in this product. This person said, I use all the essential oils for me to have peace, and I don't have it. I get up early, and I listen to meditations, and I don't have it. I sit quietly and just try to dwell on good, positive things. But I just don't have peace. And I finally had to get to the scriptures, John 16:33, and I said, you don't have peace, and I had this person read it, because who gives peace? And who would you say? Jesus. It's Jesus. Trying everywhere else to find peace, but the only way that this person could ever get to know what peace is like is by knowing who? Jesus. And so how much peace do you have when you're trying to control everything? And think about this. How much grace do you give when you try to control everything? How much grace do you give when you're trying to control everything? You don't have any grace there. And so here's a thought. Do you want, I wonder where that went, Karen. I don't see it. Huh. Well, I'm missing part of my, after reminder number three. See if you can find them, right, number three. If you want to experience grace, you've got to get to know who? Jesus Christ, okay? If you want to experience peace, you've got to get to know who? Jesus Christ. And so you see, Jesus Christ created peace for us between our God and Father, because without Jesus Christ, we would be held to the wrath of God because of our sin. But Jesus made peace for us. And so there's a reminder. Let's see if it's there. Nope, it's not there. I don't know what happened, Karen. No big deal. We need this reminder. And I think this is going to be in your bulletin. It's not on the screen, but it's in your bulletin. Jesus Christ and God our Father want us to experience grace and peace through them. Through them. Okay? Grace and peace through them. Number four reminder today is this. It is God's will for me to be saved from my sin and this evil age. God's will for me to be saved from my sin and this evil age. I look in verse 4. It says, I'm going to start in verse 3 again. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present what? Evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. I want to show you a little video here of the frog in the pot mentality. Okay, we'll see if it works. Karen and I got to work early, but if it doesn't work, that's no big deal. Okay? Nope. Try it again. Are you in the easy worship or are you in the PowerPoint? Okay. Nope. Oh, let's go again. Keep going. I'll keep going. Hey, look, there's the screams I was missing a while ago. There it is. Okay. Now, there should be a little arrow pointed. There it is. And Karen's going to click on that red marker there with her mouse. But here's what's going to happen. Now, and Jeff's going to keep it quiet for us because you're not going to have any audio. So have you ever heard of the frog in the pot mentality? What's a frog in the pot mentality? That if you stick a frog in the pot, the mentality is that he will stay in the pot and what? And he'll cook himself. Go ahead and hit play, Karen, if you can. Yep, hit play. There you go. Perfect. Okay. Now, if you look on the screen here, I have the audio muted, but you see in the screen here, there's this guy, and he's showing us some what frogs are about. Frogs are what they call polychiotherms, which they do not get their heat but from an external source. Okay? So unlike people, we maintain our own heat. Frogs have a heat that they have to gain from their environment. Okay? Now, if you notice, he's going to put the frog near the boiling pot of water, and what he did, what happened to the frog? The frog's like, whoa, not going in there. Doesn't look very fun for me. I'm not going to get in that boiling pot of water. But the guy on the screen then does something else. He then puts the frog in a room temperature pot like that. Now, if you notice underneath the frog, you can see a piece of ceramic to cushion him, and he starts to heat up the water. Now, I'm going to share with you something right now. The frog does not die. It gives the illusion he does. The frog does not die, because I don't want hate mail saying that I killed a frog in the sermon time on Sunday. Okay? So notice he's heating up the water. He's continuing to heat up the water. Now the water is up to 80 plus degrees, and the frog is saying, hey, things are great, going just wonderful. And then as he keeps heating up the water, you can find that the frog isn't moving. He just keeps sitting there. And remember, when we first started a video, he was afraid of the boiling water because, whoa, that's really hot. But he's set in first room temperature water, and now the water starts getting warm. Okay? And so guess what the frog continues to do? He's enjoying it. He doesn't even realize he's being cooked. Okay? And so as he's continuing to go up, that's 91 degrees, 92 degrees. You can see the water's getting warmer and warmer, but Ribbit is just sitting there going, hey, life is great. Not a problem. No big deal. And then, oh no. We suddenly have the frog boiling. And the frog would actually, if he was left in there, he would actually have a problem and he would do that. So here's the kicker right here at the end of the, okay? Just to let you know, star frog, and then of course you have the stun frog, okay? So no frogs were killed in making this video. Thank you. Why do we need to have that under that reminder that God's will for me is to be safe from my sin in this evil age? Why is that a reminder for me? Look, how many of us have placed ourselves in a boiling pot of sin? We all have, but as a matter of fact, sin didn't come to us like with a boiling pot of sin. Sin came to us in a very subtle way. It looked really kind and gentle and nice. Oh, that feels pretty good to do. I don't know what the Bible says about it. Don't really care, but it feels kind of nice. And before we find ourselves even thinking too much more about it, we're just like the frog. We're in a boiling pot of sin. Any idea what happens to frogs when you boil them? They die. Any happens to Christians when they are in a pot of sin? They die. And so here's a point. Look, have you let Jesus save you from your sin? Have you done that? I mean, think about that. Have you had a chance to confess Jesus, your Lord and Savior, repent of your sin, turn away from your sin and turn towards Jesus? Have you had a chance to be immersed into Christ, become one with him, your sins washed away? Because if you haven't done any of those things, you are in a boiling pot of sin. And so the other thing to consider is as well, we live in what type of age? It doesn't take long in the news to realize that, boy, if I watch news very long, I'm going to be very depressed because this age is so dark and dreary. But all that sin is so subtle, just creeps into our life just so easily, like the frog in the pot mentality. And here's a thought, friends. Look, how are you connecting with Jesus to stay rescued from the deadly boiling pot of sin, this evil age? You've got to stay connected with Jesus. If you don't stay connected with Jesus, you're going to be overcome just like that little frog in the pot. And unfortunately, there's no stunt people for us. We're the real deal. So we've got to consider that. And so we need this reminder. We need this reminder. How are you following the will of God to stay rescued from your sin in this evil age? The reminder is this. We need this reminder. It's God's will for me to be saved from sin and the influence of this world through Jesus Christ. Look, that's so good for us. It's good. God's will for me to be saved from sin and the influence of this world through Jesus Christ. Oh, love that. Reminder number 5. Everything is about the glory of God in Jesus Christ. I'll look in verse 5 of Galatians 1. To whom be glory forever and ever. Now, to whom there can mean several things. I choose to believe that Paul is also referring to God our Father and what other person? Jesus Christ. Sure, Holy Spirit will work for me too, but Holy Spirit, in this context, we're talking about God the Father and Jesus Christ. Now, you probably know this, and I know this too, but we don't get it right. Do you realize life is not about us? I get some nods on that one. It's not. Life is not about us. Life has nothing to do with us. And Paul points out something that we often miss. We read through a text like this, and look what Paul says. To whom be glory for how long? How long? How long is forever and ever? When did it start? From the beginning? God has no beginning. There is no beginning to forever and ever. There's no ending to forever and ever. It's just always been there. So whose glory is supposed to be forever and ever? So just by default of time, I want to appeal to your time factor. How long are you going to live? Some of you may die this week. So most of us will probably die in our 80s, 70s, 90s. I told my kids I'm going to live them all just to be a pain. Just by default of time, whose glory will last longer? Your glory will fade with you. God's glory will be what? Forever and ever. This brings up a very relevant point for us, and here it is. Whose glory is more important, God and Jesus or people's? God and Jesus. Look, think about this. How many of us chose to leave the wonder of heaven to die for ungrateful, sinful people living in an evil age. How many of us chose to do that? Think about this. How many of us chose to be rejected by ungrateful, sinful people and die a slow, painful death on a cross? How many of us have done that? How many of us show grace and truth and love so well that when we're insulted by other people, we don't threaten or revile in return? We're just gracious and loving. How many of us do that on a regular routine basis? How many of us have found ourselves so enamored with dying for somebody else that we gladly do it every day? Anyone raise your hand? You know the answer, right? What's the answer? None of us. None of us have done that. And because none of us have done that, but who has? Jesus. And so Jesus gets what? The glory for how long? Forever and ever. So that means before you got here, Jesus is getting glory. When you're gone, Jesus is getting glory. So that means you and I need to be giving glory to Jesus. When? How about now? Time to get started on it. If you're not about it, get started on it. Move forward into giving him glory. Got to do it. So what's the point of knowing all this? Here's the point. Remember back where we started. Remember the churches of Galatia had problems. How many problems do churches have? Well, we don't know, but how many churches have problems? All of them. And here's just some of them that point out in Galatia. People were biting and devouring each other with their words. People were gossiping and murmuring against Paul and Jesus. People were wanting to force others into a religion of rules, not follow Jesus into a relationship of grace. And it sounds like in that church, there's a bunch of people bent on giving who glory? Themselves. I'm just going to say it out loud. Here it is. It's not biblical to give yourself glory. Boy, if we were Pentecostal, we'd say what? Amen, brother. That's true. It's not biblical to give yourself glory. I've heard some people say, "If it's true, it ain't if it's true, it ain't bragging." That's glory. So we need this reminder: all glory belongs to God our Father and Jesus Christ. And how am I humbling myself? Asking ourselves of you and myself, we're asking this ourselves this question: how am I humbling myself to give God our Father and Jesus Christ glory? How am I humbling myself to give God our Father and Jesus Christ the glory? And then look what Paul says in verse 5. One word. What's he say? Amen. Do you know in the Greek what that says? It says amen. Same word. It means to let it be or truth. And so truth. We just spoke it today. Did you hear it? So in your bulletin, you have a yellow post-it. Take the time right now to write down a reminder that you need this week. We're going to pause and let you do that for just a few seconds and write that down. Write down a reminder this week that you need. Put it somewhere in your car, your bathroom. Look on your bulletin insert. Something that was reminding you that you need to hear this week. We're gonna stand with each other, and we're gonna sing our final song. It's a video song, and it's about our God and what comes from Him. I want to encourage you after our worship song. After our worship song, I want you to also, in your bulletin, let's see if I can find my bulletin. Phil, can I use yours? Yep, that's it. Thank you. In our bulletin, this yellow sheet right here. So after our worship song with each other, we're going to break out so you can find somebody in this church you can connect with and ask for a prayer request, okay? So I'm going to pray with you, and we will sing our last song. Let's stand to each other. Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for the blessing of you. Jesus, there may be someone today who doesn't know about you. As a matter of fact, when they saw the frog and the boiling pot of water, they thought of themselves and said, "Lord, I'm destined to die, and I don't have you." And if that's someone in this church today, Lord, let's talk about it after church. Come find me, come find Vern, or maybe Huey, and let's just talk and see what we need to do to make sure that you're assured that you can know Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank you for dying for us. Thank you is just never enough. Help us to live that out. We love you, sweet Lord, and pray this in your name. Amen. encourage you to take a moment right now to fill out your bulletin, to find a prayer request for somebody, and Karen, just play a song lightly in the background. Thank you. Thanks for coming.